Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 370, Top of the Datey Gary.
370, that's the bus from Glebe to Coogee.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's nice.
I'll be thinking of it as we go through today.
Oh, and Dale, what bus are you thinking about?
Hey, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
I'm thinking about the number one.
Okay, yep. Number one.
Where does that bus go?
I have no idea.
Do you remember the bus that you used to catch into the city from your house when you were a kid?
We lived in an area where the buses were numbered differently. So we had the 29 and the 31 and the 244. There was no coordination to them. But I knew that elsewhere they were big. And I remember, this will age me a bit, I remember double-decker buses when we used to go to my nan's. And we'd stay at her place at Coogee and go to Coogee Beach. And we got the bus and it wasn't until, and we were so excited and we went upstairs and it wasn't until much later that we went back and we realized that we went two stops.
Two stops.
We thought it was just fantastic.
As a kid, that would have been the most exciting thing.
What an
thing
adventure.
Double deck, because we didn't really get buses.
There's much. A bit of magic going on the upper deck of a double decker bus.
Bring them back.
You really only want to be up the front, though, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You just want to be upstairs and then the front of upstairs.
Yeah. That's prime.
Oh, yeah.
273 was the one from Chatswood into the city. Mm-hmm. And if you wanted to get there faster, 272. However, the 271 is current and the 270 are nowhere near where those buses used to be.
That's crazy. We've got a 270 near us.
No, the two's on the northern beaches. Come on, learn your public transport. To people outside of Sydney, this will probably be a bit pointless.
Yeah, but you can look them up and be like, oh.
Oh, wouldn't that be hours of fun?
The 272 doesn't exist anymore, but maybe it does.
We should put a history of the public buses on the show notes.
No, make a whole new podcast.
There is actually a bus
museum. Subscribe.
So there is a bus museum you can go to.
Oh,
and
yeah.
They've still got the old buses
there.
Oh,
it's like
so as much role
it's
play.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, it's
Have
really
you
good.
It's You've surprisingly
been?
Good.
Like take your parents to it. Like take old people to
and
it.
They'll and they'll remember.
They go crazy for it.
Or take the young'uns, like, you know, your little nibblings.
For the double deckers.
Mm-hmm. All those old things. It's
How
scary.
Many times every day that place is open would a person who was alive in the 70s say something like, on the buses, am I right?
Am I right? You're dating there, but yes.
I want to talk about something very serious, which is a quiz.
Oh.
That's coming up later.
What?
Right.
But I'm forward selling it. That's what you do. You forward announce things.
Oh, you've been doing this before.
It's about things that you can stream.
Right.
But aren't out yet. And you got to guess where you're going to find
them. On the way.
Mm-hmm. Yep. On the way, hot off the presses. You guys have done a lot of watching live and a little bit of like normal TV, sitting in front of the TV or movie watching. So we'll discuss those. I don't even know if I'm going to have time. Steph went and she came here, got her dinner and left because she was like, you guys have got way too much to talk about.
Yep. She just said, I'll pale in as insignificance next to you. You go crazy. She's taking a backseat.
I think she's watching older episodes of Below Deck again. So there's not really much for her to talk about.
Don't spoil what's going to be on next week's episode.
That's just what she's watching. Okay, we can't talk about watching suggestions yet because we have to get into something I like to call the news.
For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
There's only two news stories, but one I had to put it in because it's so weird. I read this article, a headline. It was like, Brooke Shields is in something, a new role for a Ryan Murphy legal drama. Okay. But then the rest of that headline said, starring Kim Kardashian. And I went, excuse me, what? So I've had to have a read through. And then it gets more confusing. She's going to guest star on a show called All's Fair, which stars Glenn Close, Naomi Watts, and Kim Kardashian.
What?
What's going on?
What?
I don't understand.
So I was thinking that sounds pretty interesting, about two-thirds of the way through that
sentence. Yeah, I'm thinking I could give that a nudge.
I'm really confused.
No.
It's being described as a high-end, glossy and sexy adult procedural set in an all-female law firm. Kardashian, that's Kim, will play a successful divorce lawyer, but we don't know what any of the other characters will
She's got plenty of personal experience.
True. Oh, my God. She's bringing the mouse out,
this
isn't
she? This is a really loud cat. I wonder if that's captured on film.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. What died?
She's bringing the mouse.
The mouse died.
We've got a fourth presenter. Hello.
I'm good.
It sounds like hello.
I have to acknowledge the fact that she's there, otherwise she'll keep doing it. Oh, thank you so much.
We'll just wander off and have a look.
So good. Oh, good, aren't you?
Thank you so much.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just going to put this over there so you don't find it.
God.
That was a very long one. Okay. All's fair. I don't understand why until I read the last sentence that said Kim Kardashian and Kris Jenner, that's her mum, are executive producers.
Right.
Nepo baby.
Right.
Kardashian baby.
It's got a touch of the Donnas in 90210, hasn't it? Yes.
How do they get Glenn Close? And,
I know, yeah. Right? That's why I had to read it a couple of times. I thought, have I got the wrong art? Like, have I mixed two articles up? And the answer was no, that's just what it was. Mm-hmm. Have you guys heard of The Brutalist, that movie with Adrian Brody?
Meant to be doing very well on the awards circuit.
Yes, and is meant to be very, very long. I feel like I said it was about 3.5 hours long.
Oh.
It's a hard slog. It is such a hard slog. Do you know what they've done? They've brought back the intermission.
Oh, there's not enough intermissions. I like a good chop top.
I was just saying that. Like if you're at a movie theater,
yep.
You don't want to have to miss the movie in order to go to the candy bar or you know, get popcorn or another glass of wine. But no,
intermission.
Well, they've got to bring it back for this kind of thing. And what they've been doing, people have been asking the three main stars what they suggest people should do. Adrian Brody said, and this is so Adrian Brody, the beauty is that you have a moment to reflect. You can go to the restroom, get a piece of candy, whatever you like. I find that it's a moment to just sit there in silence and darkness with an image that's like evocative. And that's where I just went...
Yeah, is there more to it? Because you'll have to.
Yeah, there's another two sentences. Felicity Jones said, "You have a variety of options. You can have a cup of tea." I was like, "You're so English." Oh. Have a cigarette. You can have a drink. You can have a chat with the person you're watching it with. I was like, "Okay, that sounds a bit more like a normal person." Guy Pearce, he only said two sentences. He said, "Go to the bathroom, have a little chat about what you've observed in the first half. Maybe get some more popcorn, and then go back in for the second half." I was like, oh.
Yes, good on you.
You've described intermission to people who have never been in one.
That's
never
right.
Never experienced it ever.
That's right, because they haven't made one since the Ten Commandments.
Exactly. Oh, my gosh. I honestly don't know if I can go to the movies to see that. I don't think I'm going
to. The subject matter is so, like, brutalist architecture is just the worst. It's divisive.
And then make a 3.5 movie about 3.5 hour movie.
You know, when they talk about preserving it for future, generations. Oh, and why bother?
Do them a favor.
Just because it's old doesn't mean it's any good.
Yeah. No. Age doesn't equal worthwhile.
What do you mean? My old Tupperware container's great.
Oh, they are.
But that's Tupperware.
They are.
They're going brutalist. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
not brutalist.
No.
That's functional.
It's functional.
And stylish.
My mum had a bit of Tupperware from the 80s that finally broke. And so she wrote to the Tupperware company because they claimed they had a lifetime, warranty on
Liars.
This thing.
Mm.
No, they replaced it for
Did
free.
Did they really?
Including shipping and handling.
With a new version.
Amazing.
Still.
Well, I mean,
I was very impressed.
Can't do that now, though.
Mum used to host those Tupperware parties when we were little kids.
Yeah.
You remember the dips and the little carrot sticks and stuff. Yeah, he used to love that. Give the celery a skip, though.
Oh, what about now? Would you still give celery a skip? Still no. Can you have celery in, say, a soup or a
That's
stew?
That's fine. It's got to be cooked, but like that raw celery.
You're
or
not having any part of it?
Teeth. Ah, no. Okay. So Mum used to put them in our lunch boxes and we'd have peanut butter, and so we just lick out the peanut butter and leave the celery.
Such a kid thing to do.
Doesn't your dog do that now?
No, he jumps on the celery as well. Yeah.
He's not that fussy.
No, I thought he was.
Who's ready to tell me some watching suggestions?
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
You go first.
Oh, watching suggestions. So we've been watching so much.
Now, when you say watching, you're not just talking about stuff that you've sat down.
Live theatre. We've been going to classical music because, of course, I'm a junkie.
Yeah.
We've been going to opera.
Well, the opera.
Including some experimental opera, which scarred Gary last time.
I'm not going to.
But this time was hilarious. Oh,
I break
God.
Out in shivers and sweats when he mentions. Whereas I'm just, give me some musicals. That'll do me fine.
Yeah, okay. So
Opera Australia have a really good lineup this year. So we're going to see Candide, which was written by Bernstein, who wrote West Side Story.
Oh, nice.
And so it's really fun. It's got glitter and Bigay and you know, lots and lots of fun. So that's going to be great. And then a good mate of mine is in Cinderella.
Oh.
So it's an English – it's opera sung in English. It's French, but they do it in English. And apparently it's selling so well they've had to put on extra shows.
Well, that's a good sign,
isn't
it? Unheard
of in the opera world. So, yeah.
So you've already got your tickets?
Already got tickets in early March. Yep, very excited.
You know, March feels like a long time away. It's not.
It's not. No, it'll be here before you know it.
Because February is about 3 days long. So you've got a month before mm-hmm. March.
I don't think it feels 2 weeks.
I'm sure it doesn't. Yes.
Well, we're in rehearsals for Rockdale Opera. They've got a gala concert coming up on the 1st and 2nd of March.
How are you feeling?
I'm excited. I have a solo part.
Oh, my.
So I've been practicing.
I misinterpreted as a whole song.
No.
He drew my attention that it's just too light.
It's about 20 seconds within the song. But that's still a decent chunk of time.
So is that when you come out in front of everybody, in front of the rest of the cast, and you say, and I thought it was a boat or whatever
like
the line
that.
Is.
But it's a good chorus or two.
Oh,
so,
okay.
You know, it's pretty decent.
Yeah.
Basically, I get to sweep the others aside and then I'm on centre stage and then everyone joins me and sing at the end. So it's all about me.
Yeah.
That's very Hamilton-esque. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is it Hamilton?
No, it's okay. actually from Oliver, the musical.
Never Before as a Boy Us From All?
No,
which song?
No. So it's Who Will Buy when he's been rescued.
Food Glorious Food.
Well done. Don't spoil it for everyone.
Sorry. Yeah. Oh. And you're singing about the roses.
Yeah, so I'm Oliver.
I often mistake you for that. You'll be singing Food Glorious Food before we know it.
40 years after the fact, but there you go.
It doesn't matter. Yeah, it still counts. You know the words. Don't worry about it. It's good. Oh, that's fun.
So it'll be a lot of fun. It's cabaret style, so mm-hmm. there'll be drinks and nibbles and stuff around round tables and whatnot, and the performers get to come amongst the audience, and it'll be very interactive, lots of fun.
Trying to steal your cheese and crackers whilst they're singing their solo.
Oh, that's an idea. You're down your champagne.
Oh, damn it. I thought of it. Oh, that's quite funny.
I'm going to lick my chop top first just in case you want to come over a bit of it.
In front of them.
Not getting any of this. Sorry, this has been pre-licked.
You've got stuff to look forward
to.
So
there are things coming up, aren't
they? Yeah, that's good.
We have been to see a few things. I went and saw Titanic QUE at the end.
My heart will go on.
It's a very hammy version of Titanic, but it's very funny. They've rewritten it's the movie, but Celine Dion is actually in the movie.
Who is she?
Well,
okay,
you've got to see the
spoilers,
show to
spoilers.
Work that out.
Yeah, no
it's
worries.
Very clever.
It sounds exciting.
It's just really funny and very camp, and it's just hilarious. There are 6-7 actors in it. And they are all excellent. You're thinking, oh, you know, the Celine Dion will be really good and the Jack and the Rose will be really good and maybe
the Billy Zane character.
The Billy Zane character was hilarious.
I bet.
And the big loud, what's the big loud Mary someone?
Oh,
Misery.
Oh, who played,
Kathy Bates. So Kathy Bates, and they call her that in the show too, the Kathy Bates character. She's hilarious. But great, they've all got outstanding voices. But it's just really funny. That's a theatre used to be the Red Dwarf. It's renamed itself, but it's in Chippendale, Redfern there. It's really good.
But, so, Gary, I don't remember Tina Turner featuring in
Tina Turner.
Titanic, the music.
Yes, the
has
iceberg.
She only just,
the
has
iceberg
the
is
iceberg?
Played by Tina Turner. Yes.
That's so funny.
It's hilarious.
That's very good.
It's just really, really funny.
It's like a gay fever dream.
It really, everything about it is just so camp. I took my two nephews. Now, admittedly, they're both over 18, but they said it was really, really funny.
They really liked
yeah,
it.
They're yeah, they're just like, oh, that's really
funny. Sometimes the more absurd you go, the funnier. Oh, like mm-hmm. if you're along for the ride of just go on, be as ridiculous as possible. I mean, I'm in.
There's a couple of scenes where you can tell that they do something different every night. And so you can just see on stage, one of them is leading the others and the others really don't know what's going to happen next.
Improv.
It's just really funny. The Rose's mother is hilarious. It's really funny. It's really, so yes. Thumbs up.
Well, we've been doing a lot of Sydney festival stuff as well, which is always fun. There's so many good shows on. And this Friday, we're going to see Katie Noonan.
Oh, right.
But but a couple of weeks ago, I went to see this unauthorized experimental opera.
Oh.
A good friend of mine's in it. So she was in Pirates of Penzance with us last year. Got picked up by Opera Australia. So, you know, good on her.
Big deal.
And she's performing in this unauthorized opera about Siegfried and Roy. So you remember those magicians? German magicians.
Yes, yes.
With the tiger at tigers in the act
white
and all
tigers.
That sort of thing.
The white tigers. Yeah.
Well, they had
just
all
any
sorts,
old tigers. Yeah.
There was that really awful tiger attack and stuff, but it is hilarious and tragic and all of that in one. The tiger actually they do with puppetry and stuff.
And they do
actual magic tricks on, you know, in the opera
that's
itself.
Fun.
So that's a lot of fun. But it just keeps on moving and it's just so much. There's one sex scene that is the funniest thing I've seen in decades.
There's just a lot going on in this. Like you did say it was experimental, but you've said opera, you've said
puppetry,
magic tigers.
Mm-hmm. Puppetry, the tiger's puppets.
And it's down at the Wharf Theatre there, so it's sort of this cabaret style where you've got the desks and or the tables and the little lamps on the tables and stuff like that. So it's very comfortable and just so much fun. And the music itself is quite
memorable. Really good.
So, yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think it's on for another week, so if you can, go see it.
It sounds ridiculous in the best sort of way.
And I'd say to all of our national friends, most of the things we're talking about today are travelling.
Cool.
So if they're not here, they'll be out somewhere and they'll be headed around. And I mean, if it's like Hamilton, we'll do laps around the country.
Yeah,
and keep
over
through.
And over and over again. Wait for it.
I went and saw, let me look at my list again. We went and saw The Wharf Review.
Yeah, I saw that. I was with you.
Oh, yes, you were too. We saw that at the Seymour Centre. I know that's travelling. So that's it's at the Parramatta soon, but I think it travels further, Canberra. And
this
places.
Is the last one.
This
right?
is the last
There's
one.
Very much felt
been
like
saying that for a few years now, but I think it might be really true.
It felt like
this
the
time.
Last one, didn't it? Yeah.
It's really funny. It's clever. Like it's really clever when you're seeing it's political satire. So you've got to know a little bit about politics, but not a lot.
No.
And it pokes fun at all parties and all persuasions. And it's just really clever the way they turn particular people in the public eye and just the nuances on how they talk and how they act and how
and
they look.
Sing and they the sing in the way that they would sing.
Yeah, it's and so they're funny. Current politicians and former politicians, but not just politicians. They do a scene on it starts off with Mary Margolis out here and the next thing you know that there's Joanna Lumley and they're just talking about all of the
that Joanna Lumley voice.
All the travel shows.
All the travel, all the British and all the British tourist shows were all out here.
Yeah, they were
filming.
All here.
And they said,
so
that's David Attenborough, he's over the hill. And I went, what do you mean? No, he's over the next hill. They're just saying they're all out here filming various Michael Palin will be here soon and next thing. It was just it's not just politics, but it's really clever. So that was apparently it's their last one, but you know. There'll be others.
I hope so. I do remember seeing others at the actual – no, it wasn't at the Wharf. It was at the place opposite – I've gone blank. The theatre opposite the Wharf Theatre.
The Sydney Theatre.
Oh, the Roslyn Packham. Yeah.
Yes.
It's the Sydney Theatre.
Pretty sure we saw one there. And there was more – there were a couple of ladies in – like the cast was a bit bigger. So
that's right. They moved because they were at the Wharf Theatre and then they moved over to Roslyn Packer and now they're at the Seymour Centre. So they've moved around a bit.
Yeah.
Mm. But there's plenty of things on at the moment. Like the Sydney Theatre, the Sydney Festival's on, which is why we're out buying tickets. We went out to Parramatta and saw a show last Friday, Animal, I think it was. Mm-hmm. It was a Canadian French group that were circusy, juggly thing. It was clever and fun and family.
Yeah, fun.
But circus farmers?
Circus farmers.
Yeah, so like it was like a farmyard.
But
they're doing tricks on barrels and you know, that sort of thing. Although the funniest thing was when they were juggling the chickens.
That was so hilarious. Like you couldn't stop laughing. You didn't even clench your stomach. You're laughing so much.
Because it was one of those squeaky toys. But, of course, when you're juggling them, they go squeak, squeak, squeak every time. And it was just it kept on getting funnier.
It really sounded like a barn full of chickens because there would have been about 12 to 20 of these.
Just having a juggle.
So what else? Oh, just the other day on the on the weekend, we went to see Lord of the Rings, the musical. How amazing is that? I'm a huge Lord of the Rings fan and it's fantastic. So
Are they basing it off the book or more the movie or like a mixture? I think it's based off of the
book because how do you condense three movies into
three-hour movies. Yeah. I was very apprehensive that there's 9 hours. How many intermissions are we having?
Wait, so how long was it?
About 2.5 hours. So it was a reasonable length, not too long.
Three with intermission.
With intermission, yeah. But basically the first half was just the first book and then it's like how do you squeeze two books into one-hour second act?
Yeah.
Well, the answer is you just skip over the second movie and – Pretty much go straight to the end.
Wow.
So there wasn't huge battle scenes or anything like that.
I guess that makes sense.
It was on stage.
They do a lot with puppetry and with the lights and the sounding and the stage sort of moved around and stuff. And that scene when Gandalf is facing off the Balrog was so, so impressive. Like they had this huge curtain come across and then they were projecting the Balrog onto this curtain as it was sort of enveloping him and just really, really impressive.
Where was it?
State Theatre.
Oh, okay.
It's a beautiful old theatre.
We were up top and looking down. It was clever. Mm. It was really good. I was a bit apprehensive because – you know, the thought of 8 hours, I was worried about
being locked in there.
But when you think about it, a lot of Lord of the Rings is about the sweeping vistas and the views that are just part of the story. Yeah. I don't want to shock anyone, but there's no big views on a stage show.
Really?
It's just weird. Characters and action. I know, it's amazing. I thought they'd open the window and all of a sudden, out the back is the view.
But it was very charming and a lot of humour.
It was very sweet.
And that, it was really sweet. The character that played Gollum, the actor, incredible. So, he really sounded like Gollum, moved like him across the stage. It was really creepy. And
was he your favourite?
No. He was a good character.
Yeah.
But the character itself is a bit creepy.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Although
can't say ever that Gollum's your favourite character.
No.
No. It's my favourite. Although the actor that played him was quite hot, I must say. Yeah. Anyway, you would have to be incredibly strong to be walking across the stage on all fours.
But also now I'm thinking about it. Like he's always crouched over.
Yeah.
The hobbits are short. What do you do with the hobbits when they're hanging out with elves?
Actors.
Okay.
And then the elves and the humans were played by taller actors.
Okay.
I think that's how they got away with it. But you definitely they felt like hobbits felt like hobbits and the taller actors felt like humans and stuff. So that wasn't weird at all.
Okay. Yeah. Lord of the Rings at the State Theatre. I don't think it'd be in somewhere bigger, bigger stage.
We were looking and I made the comment before it started because you're looking down.
Yeah.
And I said, it's actually a smaller stage than I recall because you go to the Capitol Lyric or something of those places, the bigger stages. Mm. But as Dale said, it was really good.
Super clever. Did the job. You just have to line a string of flags and stuff across the stage and all of a sudden it's a party.
Yeah, right.
And then you move those away and these things then become the Mines of Moria.
Oh, yeah.
And then with a bit of lighting and stuff, like this is the Pit of Mordor and like it's really evocative and the music was quite good and the actors were excellent. I do think though that the first half is great. The second half, they are trying to cram a lot into that 1 hour and wrap it all up. And, so it didn't have the big battle scenes or anything like that. But, you wouldn't expect that from a musical anyway.
It'd be funny watching.
Thoroughly.
We also saw Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh, fantastic.
So my niece was in town and so I took her. She comes and goes for various reasons. And so she was in, we went and saw Jesus Christ Superstar at the Capitol, which is also traveling. And so it'll be moving around the state. Excellent. Like, excellent.
Who plays the role of Kate Sobrano?
Kate Sobrano is played by Jimmy Barnes' daughter, Mahalia Barnes. And so I haven't seen it. So I saw the Kate Sobrano. I saw the Marsha Hines version.
Oh,
I was
very
young.
Yeah.
Viewers, I'm only 20 years old.
Yeah.
Kate Sobrano version. And then I saw the
reaction.
I saw the Sporty Spice version as well when she did it with Tim Minchin about 10 years ago at the old Entertainment Centre before the knocked it down. Not here for about a month. Travel around.
Try not to get
So it was, it's at the Capitol and there was far more dancing than I remember. And whilst those tunes are very, there's a good beat and a good rhythm. You don't really think of dancing, but there's a lot of dancing in
it. But in the Kate Sobrano production.
Because we all keep coming back to it.
It was technically, what were they calling it, the concert or something?
Yeah, the arena spectacular.
They were more sort of, I'm John Farnham and I'm getting up to sing this song from the musical.
It's one of the things from this show, though, is that that's the way it was written, was as a concert rather than as a stage show. And then it has been done as a stage show, but because it wasn't written like that, it's not sort of not fully developed. Then this version sort of did it in between where the leads had microphones and stuff. So they're going to the microphone stand, bringing that across, and sometimes they'd incorporate that into their routine and stuff. But the characters weren't really interacting with one another in the way that they would in a regular musical. So I did think, you know, it would be better as a stage show because you get more of the story and stuff. Yeah. But that said, that lead singer, oh my God.
Really?
So he's a legitimate rock star in his own right. He I think he works with the Veronicas.
He's done stuff with the
Veronicas. He's just amazing. But Gethsemane is one of the hardest songs in all of musicaldom. And there is his high note. And he just held on to it, I swear, for like 20, 30 seconds. Wow. It was just incredible. And then he kept on going. It was just
showing. That in itself got a round of applause. John Farnham didn't do that.
He got a round of applause in the middle of the song.
Though, so
and
that's
then a standing
better.
Ovation True. At the end of the song. It was just,
really, really good. Just everything about the stage, like the sets and the designs and the music and Reuben Kaye coming out and being. Herod was hilarious.
Really?
I mean, that role is such a standout from the first time I saw it when Reg Livermore did it to when I saw Angry Anderson do it with Kate Sobrano. It's just such a standout. So my niece is sitting next to me, and, of course, she has no idea. I took her to see Grease and she'd never seen the movie. So she's
what?
A bit – I know. She's a bit of a – no.
No, the issue is that they were born in the last 20 years.
We were looking at the program. We said, who's that? I went, oh, he hasn't come out. He only does one song. I said, this is all what we're looking at is very industrial. It's very, I wouldn't say sterile, but it's of a type. I said, you'll know when he comes out because it will be camp. It'll be mayhem. It'll be fun. Not that this isn't fun, but it'll just be different. And afterwards she just nodded and went, oh, yeah. It's exactly what that song is. It's just, it's fun. You come out going, I've had a great night.
I mean, it's banger after banger for those songs.
Yeah,
it's
they're
just
all
so
classics.
Many memorable ones.
Yeah.
It's really good.
It's like Hamilton and like an opera in that there's no text between. There's no dialogue. It's just song after song after song, whereas a lot of the stage shows we see have dialogue. It just goes straight from one to the next. So, two thumbs up.
I'm going to have to listen to the Kate Sobrano song later. And, of course, who was it? John Stevenson, when he I'll be like, fast forward that bit, get back to her.
I was amazed how many, because like everyone in the 90s who had the album, we all knew every song.
Yes.
I was amazed at how many I could still say every word.
That's impressive. It's the way the brain retains music.
It really does.
It's very impressive.
I'm singing every song. I can't remember this word. I know those words.
Yeah.
Really good.
My gosh.
So we've got a good mate that's in a musical called Peter and the Starcatcher. So, it's coming to Sydney. It's only on for about 10 days, but
it's at the Capitol.
Capitol
it's early February.
Okay.
It's basically a prequel to Peter Pan.
Oh, yeah.
And puppetry. Lots of puppetry.
Oh, okay.
Musical and
lots puppetry of fun. Seems so to be the way to do. End of January, beginning of February, around that time. Mm.
All those complexity. Effects. Yeah.
Anything unreal.
Yeah.
Puppetry is your answer.
Is the way to go. Mm-hmm.
I think later in the year, I haven't seen it advertised yet, but I'm pretty confident that Lion King's coming back. A lot of puppetry.
I have never seen that.
Have you not?
So when Shelob came and attacked Frodo and Sam in The Lord of the Rings, the musical.
Did you get worried?
That was puppetry as well, but really effective. Yeah. Like, yeah, it was a proper fight.
No, actually it was a real 10-foot spider.
Oh, yeah, my word. Right.
Yeah, no, it wasn't. It was a real
10-foot spider. It was just a huntsman.
I've seen them that big in my
background. Now, have you seen that little viral video of this trapdoor spider? It's actually a wolf spider, but it's like a trapdoor spider. And this person goes to lift up the lid. The spider jumps out and it's a bit of a jump scare. And then it legitimately looks cross. And then it goes back into the hole and very hurriedly shuts the lid. It's like he's slamming that lid back down.
How dare
you disturb me again? So anyway.
Don't you get out of bed again. Go back to sleep. Bang.
That's correct.
That's what it is.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Very good.
So, yeah, there's a few things coming up still.
There's a lot going on.
MJ the Musical's coming out. Hades Town's going to be in town soon.
That'll be good.
That's
Christine Arnoux, right?
I'm pretty confident it is. What's the other one I was going to say is coming up? Book of Mormon's coming up soon.
Oh, fun.
So there's plenty of stuff
Back
coming
to
around.
Back to the Future, the musicals, apparently going on a national tour.
There you go. Mm. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Our friend's
daughter is auditioning for it.
Oh, okay. Fun. Yeah. You guys know.
I know. Once you're sort of in that world, you sort of learn more about it. And yeah, it's very exciting.
Casting news, that's all. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're all of it. Okay. I feel like we should move into the quiz because it's all about things that are coming up.
Okay.
Coming up. Ready.
Yes. So I'm going to tell you the name of it and I'll give you a little bit. This is from Harper's Bazaar, so I'm going to give you a little bit of a description as to what it is and then mm-hmm. you tell me what streaming service either you know or you guess it's going to be on.
Right.
Hands on buzzers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or just say it. So the first one is Severance Season 2. And Harper's Bazaar said, well, it's about time. Nearly 3 years since it first premiered on Name Redacted, the critically lauded sci-fi mystery drama returns for its second season with a few new faces, including Gwendolyn Christie, Merritt Weaver, and others that I don't know the name of.
It's in the text. That's an interesting
But Patricia Arquette's in it.
Okay. Oh, she must be getting on.
What? Yeah. Is she the oldest Arquette? Rosanna? Yeah, I think Rosanna might be. What streaming service would you find Severance Season 2 and hopefully 1? Otherwise, that's really annoying.
I'd say Prime.
You reckon Prime?
Yeah. I don't think Prime because I've got Prime and I haven't seen anything like that.
What don't you have?
Well, we had Netflix, but we sort of stopped watching Netflix. It's not Disney Channel. What else? Binge. What's Hinge. No.
Binge.
Binge.
Hinge. You reckon Binge? It is Apple TV out on the 17th.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There you go.
This one is called Paradise. And Harper's says, Sterling K. Brown is returning to television in another show created by This Is Us creator, Dan Fogelman. This time the drama will take place at the White House when the president, played by James Marsden, is found dead. The trailer hints at some sort of juicy conspiracy paradise coming out on the 28th of January.
Would you audition for a role that you know is going to die, you know, in the series opening?
Laura Palmer.
Mm. I'm going to say Netflix just because it seems like the sort of show Netflix.
It's a kind of a Netflix-y, yeah. What do you reckon?
Stan.
It is on Hulu in America, therefore it's Disney. It's in the star
Disney,
section.
Really?
Yeah,
wow.
I know. Okay. I agreed. It didn't feel like one of them, yeah. Apple Cider Vinegar coming out on the 6th of February. We are ripe for some more critical takes on the health fluencing in the era of misleading health information on TikTok. Belle Gibson is the person that this is a true story. Belle Gibson, a true scam story about the convicted Australian social media health guru who claimed she could cure her multiple cancers with an alternative medicine treatment. Do you remember she was the one that you found out
she got interviewed by 60 Minutes or something? And like, you know, you've had cancer three times.
Yep.
And yep. Your 18 grandparents have died, you know, variously along the way. And
so how are you still here? Okay, apple cider vinegar, streaming service.
Well, it's the sort of stuff that SBS would like to put out, I think. They often like to debunk a good conspiracy theory. So I'm going to say SBS On Demand.
Sounds like a Viceland thing. So
it's a Netflix.
Netflix, there you go, yeah.
Cassandra. What's scarier than sentient AI? Cassandra, a house's old AI system, awakens in the 6-episode German series to trap its new family inside, determined never to be abandoned again. Now this, I'll tell you what, this is not SBS On Demand, but geez, it sounds like one.
It sounds like 100%
like SBS.
Really does.
I reckon this might be Prime. I reckon. They've got a surprisingly good foreign section on Prime.
There are a few that have good foreign sections. Which one would you think it is?
Netflix.
Yeah, it's Netflix. They've got a lot of Korean stuff, Netflix, but German as well.
They're branching out into their foreign.
Trying to get, well, obviously markets. International markets.
Yeah, well, I suppose they're losing a lot of their premium content now to these competing channels. And so, you know, what do you put out there? And foreign stuff's
cheap. If you dub it, I mean, you don't even have to dub it because I reckon the majority of people watching it are just reading the subtitles anyway.
I turn the subtitles on even if it's in English.
I know, right? Yeah. I do too. I don't know what it is. The Last of Us Season 2. After setting the bar extremely high for this mushroom-filled first season, the popular and acclaimed television adaptation of the video game The Last of Us returns this year. Hollywood strikes delayed this production, but the wait will be worth it. We've now got Catherine O'Hara joining the cast as well as Jeffrey Wright.
Oh, now I know exactly where this is because this is where I saw the first season, and that's on Qantas In-Flight Entertainment.
Yes. Or if you're not in the middle of the air.
Yeah, I believe it costs a bit more to subscribe to that.
Yes.
The fees are a little bit higher.
Oh, that's so funny.
I'm going to stick with Stan.
This one is HBO, which means we would have to find it on Binge.
Right. Mm.
Yep. Would you like one or two more?
Let's go for a couple more.
Okay, okay.
I've had none yet so far. Okay. So
I expect to get zero at the end of this. So
I feel like you've had one so far, but this is a bit like, you know, what happened this week. What not who do you think you are? What's that show where they're talking about the events of the week?
Oh,
and they have
And
then the comedians come on and they make funny jokes if they don't know the answer.
Kitty Flanagan's on it sometimes. Yeah. And when she is, I'm like, oh,
have
good,
you been paying attention?
Watch this one.
That's the one. Obviously, none of us have been paying attention.
Nine Perfect Strangers Season 2.
What? Hello, Nicole Kidman.
4 years after David E. Kelly's adaptation of Leanne Moriarty's novel, the show is set to return for another year with Nicole, obviously, reprising the role where the character's voice is a bit weird and you're like, sorry, the accent's a bit strange. You can't quite place it.
Yes.
And you're like, is it the character or is it her?
During COVID up in Byron Bay.
Yes.
So, yeah. Okay.
Yes. I don't know anything about it. There's no hint of what's going on in the second season. But does anybody remember what they saw it on?
Oh. I saw ads for it a bit when I was scrolling through.
Yeah,
so it
right.
was either on Netflix or when we had it or Prime.
I'm going to say Prime.
I'm going to say, yeah, because we haven't had any Netflix in a while. Oh, sorry. We had
it was
Netflix
advertised on SBS. I remember it was advertised there, but I
can't remember where for.
All right, I'm going to say Prime.
Okay, they say Hulu, but I'm sure I saw it on Prime here.
I thought so, but
I'm sure it was on
but
here.
But Prime also have those tie-ins where you can connect through to Apple TV and then you have to pay for it and that sort of thing. So who knows? All right, so that's Hulu, is
that's
it?
That's Hulu.
Yeah, gotcha.
I'm sure it was on Prime. Okay, last one. Lord of the Flies.
Oh.
So this is a new version of Lord of the Flies.
Mm-hmm. So it's not Lord of the Rings, the musical. It's Lord of the Flies,
it's
not.
Lord of the Flies, the TV series. Oh, TV. Yes, okay, yes, that's right.
Very similar.
Gary, would you like to go with one of your guesses or do you want to go something new?
How can you tell that I've guessed every single one of them?
I'm not giving you.
I'm just throwing darts at it and like, I don't know. I'll go with a guess. I'll say Amazon.
Ooh.
I'm going to go ABC iView.
Oh, that's a good one. It was Stan. I was hoping you'd say Stan
you
again.
You threw me a bone and I just dropped it.
Yeah, Stan.
Stan.
Mm. What? Okay, out of these, were there any that sounded interesting to you? Were there any that you thought, I'm kind of interested?
I'll give them a nudge.
Yeah. I would like to watch The Last of Us Season 2 because I like the first one. Now I'm intrigued because there's 9 Perfect Strangers. I watched that. Mm-hmm. And I felt like it finished.
Yes, it seemed quite complete.
Yeah, so what on earth is going on? The one about the German one about the AI house.
That sounded amazing. Yeah. I think I want to see that. I love a good Nordic. No, it's not Nordic, but, you know, it's Germany. So close.
Don't we get a like map a out
good,
and show?
Good Nordic noir, you know, and you know, a bit of thriller.
Yeah, and weird too. Like
Europeans
weird.
Are all the same.
Because it's the just Germans one country. Don't panic a lot. So if the Germans frightened about something, you know, it's really scary.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they've got a high threshold, so give them credit.
So I don't usually do this, but I'm going to ask for a request and I'm going to ask it now and then I'll go to Gary so you've got time to think about it.
Okay.
So when I say thank you very much and instead of saying goodbye, can you say in German I'm scared, okay? All right? So on that note, Gary, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
And Dale, on that note, thank you very much.
Akawaiyo.
I don't think that's
not Germans will understand that.
No.